right, welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
Well, I spent most of the afternoon watching the Rangers just get completely dominated on their home field in the first game of the playoffs, so I have been better. Overall, I'm still fine, just a little sore from watching the beating the Rangers took today.
Yeah, that was pretty gross. I tuned it out pretty quickly, and
many of the fans in the stadium did as well, and it seemed the Rangers players did as well. So it was not a great day for Texas Rangers baseball, but the good news is they get to try it again tomorrow.
Can you really blame them though? I mean, that was a pretty rough outing all the way around.
It was bad. You know, it's a game of inches. I felt like the big inning that the Blue Jays had to bust it open could have been squandered very quickly if things had just broke the right way. There was a couple of line drives that would just went in and out of gloves, and if those had been secured, then they only score one or possibly zero in that inning. Instead, they went on to score five. So, the offense just did nothing against a pitcher who topped out throwing 89 miles an hour. So that was frustrating.
Yeah, to say the least. Well, speaking of sports, here we are tonight. How's that for a transition?
Man, that was an amazing segue.
You know, it's the quality and professionalism of our podcast just keeps on reaching new echelons of greatness. So I have enjoyed the limited luck and success that I have personally had coming out of the past couple of wins under my belt. I mean, skin of my teeth. And I'm not apologizing for that. I'm thankful for that. I know that that's not sustainable in the long run, but I am very, very thankful to have the record that I do. I went back and looked at the last 6 years of our fantasy league and standings, and I went, man, I am terrible at this game. Apparently, like as much as I love it, good grief, I'm just terrible according to our rankings. And so it's kind of nice to have the record that I do, despite how I got there. A W's a W. How are you feeling about it?
I agree with your assessment of you entirely.
That sounds like a compliment.
It's a karmic shift for you this year that you now have to come from behind Monday night wins that you may or may not have fully deserved. And so I'm very happy for you that you got those on your belt after you had a couple of really bad ones last year. So yeah. It's now you're just changing the trend. You're rewriting your new story, which is great. And now you're in the top four by record. So that's a good place to be. You're one of three teams that has not cracked the 500 point total on the season. Mm-hmm. So still not scoring a ton of points, but you have wins of 0.1 and last week was 1.5,
right?
I think. No, 1.3. So two wins by less than 2 points is that's a neat trick.
And, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
No one is going to take that win away from you. You get to keep that one and carry it with you for the rest of the year.
Sure.
So just all about adding some more to that now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way I see it, I like to provide valuable ammo for the commissioner in his power rankings. You know, I feel like if there aren't close shaves or, you know, exorbitant things, interesting things to talk about, then power rankings would potentially be boring. And I don't want that for our league. I don't want that pressure on you. And so I try to keep it interesting so that we get power rankings like we did this week that are just so sharp and, you know, wait a minute.
I see what you did there.
What happened, Pete?
Yes. All right. I'll confess. Okay. You've got me up against it. I did not get the power rankings out yet this week. I did the math.
That's not a confession.
I know who the power rankings are.
Okay.
I know the numbers. I did the math. I just did not take the time to do the comments yet. And so I could have just dumped them on the lead page, 1 through 12. Here are the names. But I wanted to do those comments. And I just didn't have time to do them yet. So I will try to do them tonight after we log off. They may not be my best work, but I will try to get them out so you can enjoy them. Your comment, I already know what it's going to be.
I should hope so.
Showing you some preferential treatment there.
If it's anything as great as last week's preferential treatment, I think we're all in for a treat.
Yeah, well, I have to make it up for you after last week where I just punted your comment. Actually, give you a good one, so I'm gonna shoot for it this week. Obviously, I don't want to build up your expectations too much or else I will disappoint you. But
that's fair.
I will say it was fun texting in the group chat, watching that Monday Night Football game, of which I cared very little, but it was fun seeing your guy come back and get you that win by the it looked like it was gonna be the slimmest of margins. At one point, I thought you were gonna have a 0.2 point win.
Oh man,
with your 0.1 point win, that would have been
at one point. I thought I was gonna have a 0.4 loss, so that would have been right. Even worse.
Pretty it was fun. It was a good way to close out the week and get your third win of the season.
That's right. And Derek, great game. Your record in no way reflects the excellence of what your team did this past week. You deserve the win, and what a fluke. So that was crazy. Power to you, buddy. However, thank you for, you know, your honesty, Pete. I admire that you just come out and openly discuss failures. I know that that takes humility. That takes a big man to say when he was wrong, when he didn't, you know, get his commitment done. We didn't do things proper, as it were, or meet expectations. And from what I understand, I also have an apology, perhaps, to or maybe a justification, or just perhaps a scathing that needs to be addressed.
Well, it's something we need to discuss. So you reached out to me last night, I believe, and you asked if I was interested in trading for a player on your team.
That's right.
Which was, you know, great. I love to start a trade conversation. Yeah. I was very, very, very excited to start trade talks with you.
Sure,
my friend. I wasn't actually interested in the player that you offered.
Sure,
I wasn't a great fit for my team.
Nah.
Don't love him as a player. And so I told you, no, not really interested in him. But I'll trade for these other guys on your team. To which you did not seem very interested at the time. So I ended up saying, okay, well, if I were to trade for that guy, here's what I would offer. I believe your response to that was like something along the lines of, ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, hang on. The tone, you know, across the text message, that can we admit there's an assumption being made in the tone?
Sure. Of course there's an assumption being made in the tone. But
I see you getting your phone there. You're going for a direct quote.
Actually, so I said I would offer player X and player Y for player Z. And you said, I liked that a lot, comma, tell you the truth. So it sounded promising. So things were moving along. Wake up today. I don't know, somewhere between last night and today, that particular idea didn't move forward in your mind. So then offered a trade for another play of yours. That one didn't really go anywhere either. And then this afternoon, I am at the Rangers game with our good mutual friend Ben.
Oh.
And I just, you know,
I
just
love Ben. How was he? Is he well?
He seemed really great, actually.
I think about him a lot. Really well. He's just a good man. He's a good friend.
Just striking up conversation. I asked him, I said, so are you trying to trade Seth for Eddie Lacy? just a very random,
pointed,
generic fantasy football question.
Sure.
And he said, why? And I said, well, Seth said that you had made an offer for Eddie Lacy. And so then the puzzle pieces started to fit together.
Mm.
And we determined what happened was that Ben wanted to trade for Eddie Lacy, proactively reached out to you about that.
Right.
To which your response was to proactively reach out to me and ask me about trading for him.
That's right.
To which I said, I'm not that interested, but here's an offer anyway.
Sure.
Which you did really nothing with.
No.
And then I don't even know if you went back to Ben. But it was obvious that you were taking Ben's advances and then seeing if you could do any better.
No, that's not the truth.
That's what, how it appeared. That's how it came across. I feel like Ben and I, caught you in a little bit of an awkward position as, he then messages you, about, going behind his back to me, to which you responded that you were just doing market research. And then I am sitting next to Ben reading it on his phone. That I am just market research, and it was I was only slightly insulted, but overall I was starting to get the picture of the wiles you were doing behind the scenes.
Okay,
trying to create this straight. Yeah.
All right. Well, if I may, you're not wrong. Everything that you just said happened, with the exception of my motive. My motive was not to. To betray Ben, rather it was to assess the value that I thought Eddie Lacy was against somebody who I trust, that is you. Did I do it in a manipulating way? Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I got a feel for what the value of Lacy would be inside our league, at least in your eyes, prior to coming back to the trade discussion with Ben. Now, had the, you know, love triangle not come together on the point and, you know, leave team Seth out in the weeds, I would have gone back to Ben and said, hey man, this trade looks good, I'm ready to pull the trigger, and I would have pulled the trigger. I'm still willing to do so if Ben was cordial enough to respond. At this point it may be a moot point, however. That was the prerogative that I was moving forward with. No insult meant, of course, no offense meant to be had. However, it was a market strategy that I got caught in. And for that, I'm saying that it happened.
So I think the moral of the story is that everyone should just be upfront in trade negotiations. Be honest. Tell someone what you really think about their offer so that you can work directly with them and try to come to an agreement, right? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like that is true. I don't feel like I violated that.
Did you give Ben a direct response to his trade offer?
Yeah. I told him, let me do the research, and I really like the trade. I was in the process of doing the research.
Oh, okay. So maybe the moral of the story is don't use your fellow lead members solely for the purpose of doing research.
Maybe that moral I can stand behind. Yes.
Well, and furthermore, I think we have all determined that Eddie Lacy is on your trade block.
Absolutely.
You're fielding offers for Eddie Lacy.
Sure, absolutely. And just put it out there. Let it be known that I have no problem entertaining multiple conversations simultaneously. I'm not of the, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe our league has an unspoken etiquette that I'm just lambasting here, but my opinion of trade talks and negotiations is that you can float things out there, get a feel here, get a feel there. If there's a hidden loyalty out there that says you can only have one discussion at a time and let the trade negotiation, you know, pursue it to fulfillment or closure 100% either way, and then hop to the next one. I can't stomach that personally. If that is the expectation in proper negotiations, then call me Tom Brady.
I have another name I'd rather call you, which is, this is not the first time during this podcast that this name has popped into my mind, as earlier talking about wanting to, you know, create some drama, create content for the power rankings, you know, something, you might say something for the tabloids to discuss.
Hey man, this is a tough business.
And now you are willing to entertain multiple trade partners at the same time. I feel like the Kim Kardashian of the league might be more for you.
Hey man, this is a tough business. I mean, ratings are, you know, we live and die on public opinion and ratings. Okay, so I'm just trying to keep this podcast afloat, and
just trying to keep up with the Kardashians is what you're saying.
Crap, well, I really walked right into that one. Well, let me just take a selfie here real quick, and we'll move on. Build the brand. That's right. Yes, I do like to keep it interesting. I do like to add a little bit of drama. And as we already said last week in our matchups, I definitely did that. Derek and I having a close race to the finish. We weren't the only one that was adding a little bit of drama. We had plenty of big spreads this week. Monster scores put up this week by Chris. There's a big spread between Ben and Andy, even though they didn't have huge points. But Pete, you yourself put up a huge board this week. And Brock, of course, still up there up top. But Chris really dominating on the whole. What is your quick review from week four?
So our winless teams stayed winless. Our undefeated teams, Brock survived while Jared took his first loss in a 8-point loss to Brent. So bummer there for him. The podcast curse lives on. Brock
got him.
Brock and Chris both thrived based on Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and their incredible days. You know, Brock scored 150 points out of that. Julio Jones was 50 of it, which is probably an extremely high percentage of points scored by one player on your team, but not. Knowing what the record is, but that's got to be up there to have exactly 130 of your points scored from one player.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep.
So overall, we got three teams at 3-1 now. Ben has been coming on strong with, I think he's got three wins in a row. He is dominating in the points against category, it's not even close. He's had, in four games, he's had 387 points scored against him, so teams are averaging under 100 points against him per game, which is helping him get to his 3-1 record. So we'll see if that continues. I told him today that's a nice thing to have. It will help you get into the playoffs, but I don't think anyone has ever won the championship because they had a knack for a low point total being scored against them.
Yeah, it is an interesting way to look at it, in that sometimes it's not about how much you score, but about how little your opponent scores, as I can attest to, for being very low in the points for category, but being one of two teams in my division that's 3-1. So definitely, I think that kind of thing is an anomaly that irons out. I don't think that, like, my win-loss record right now, based on these close calls, that is not sustainable unless I make some moves to. Because my schedule only gets harder. That's the kind of thing that gets ironed out. That's there's a bubble waiting to burst on that one.
And we're in the second week now of the games being played outside your division. So the first 2 weeks you play in your division, the next 6 weeks you play outside your division before the final 5 weeks being back in your division. Mm-hmm. And last week the incumbents won 5 out of the 6. Matchups, trying to not taking the challengers down a peg. You were the only challenger to win your game last week.
Huzzah.
So you soar to the top of the standings of the challengers division.
Oh, well, and that thus my power rank bump too, I would imagine. We shall see if that can be sustained.
The power ranking doesn't care quite so much about your record. You do move from 8 last week up to 6 this week. So you have that going for you. The biggest jump in power rankings this week is Chris going from 6 up to 3.
Yeah.
Overall for the season, Ben is up to 5 now, where he started at 11. So I think he's made the biggest improvement for the season to date.
Sure. Well, we've got some exciting matchups with that, as you say. And that is the schedule is one of those tried and true things. I remember talking about it, maybe it was a couple of years ago now, where we discussed the actual layout of the season and how the challengers and incumbents would overlap and the season would progress. And I really enjoyed it. I do like the math behind it. I like the setup of it. I like the matchups and the progression of it. So did we make any changes going into this season, or is it the same structure?
It takes a little bit of manual effort to actually go into ESPN and plug in the schedule, but I have it's basically just a math exercise to create how the schedule should work. And I like the way it flows. You end up playing two teams in your division twice, and you play everyone else once. You finish the season with all intra-division games, which can make it interesting towards the end, and can definitely fuel some juicy matchups between the top two teams in the division sometimes at the end of the year, which is, that's always fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, I like it, and I'm looking forward to it. We've got some great matchups this week. You ready to dive into a few of them?
Let's do it.
Well, I think one of the challenger matchups that I'm excited about that actually could be a potentially close race despite the bye week blues that are wrecking us is Brent and I going up. Right now, we didn't have any Thursday players on the roster for the evening, and so our projection is standing strong. I think we're split by about 6 points or so, Brent in favor currently. I've made some rash pickups this week off the waiver. Surprising that I was able to pick up my my whole lot that I targeted. He's got Jameis Winston up against Carolina on Monday. He's also got Theo Riddick and Mike Evans that are healthy, and Demaryius Thomas and Jordan Matthews. And as I'm reading all of this, I'm going, well, crap. He's got a much better tilt, I think, this week than I do. I've got Carson Wentz, who's hyped, going up against Detroit this week, filling in while my QB has a concussion, who was benched tonight. Carson Palmer did not play. Although whoever was backup for him did a pretty good job tonight. I don't know who subbed in.
It's like Drew Stanton.
There you go.
It's not a good quarterback, but he did fine just fine against the 49ers.
Yeah, well, there you go. AJ Green is going up against Dallas, so that feels a little comforting. Hopefully Jarrett McKinnon will be able to run through Houston's secondary and make it through their front line. But Eddie Lacy, we know what he's worth after some market research. I feel good about him. But Isaiah Crowell has been a great flex option for me. It's the longest I've ever kept a running back in a flex, but he's killing it. He's up against New England, though, and so the days of the pass rush on their line may be coming to a middle. But I have a chance. What do you think?
I think you do have a chance. I agree. I see this as not a super high scoring matchup, but a close one. I don't really love any individual matchup here as a guy who seems like in a spot where he could go off. Playing daily fantasy football as well on FanDuel. I've been bummed each of the last 2 weeks because there's been a Thursday night matchup that's just been so juicy. It was AJ Green last week. It was David Johnson this week. Just really on paper, good looking matchups, and those players went off and had awesome days. And so you kind of look for those individual matchups that look really good. I'm not really seeing anything from either team here where it looks like it's a spot where someone could just have a monstrous day. So I think we kind of a grinded out kind of day. I actually literally liked your pickup of Carson Wentz at quarterback. I think even if Carson Palmer was healthy, I probably would have said you should play Wentz over him anyway. So I think that's a good pickup. It'll be interesting what they do with Jerick McKinnon after his good game on Monday night. if they'll give him more of the work closer to the goal line, or if they'll let Asiata continue to vulture the touchdowns there, that'll have a big impact. So I feel like both teams here are very solid across the board. Nothing outstanding, but no real weak spots. So I think you have a chance. I think it'll be a close one.
Okay. Well, who's your pick?
I am going to. It's a tough one, but I think I'm gonna pick you.
Hey.
It's probably a bad idea, but I'm gonna pick you.
Man, I don't know what to think about that. I'm actually more scared now that you've picked me than if you voted exactly. against me. It's much easier to beat David. Okay.
It's a bad idea for you, but I just cursed your team. I'm sorry in advance for your loss.
That's right. Well, we will at the end of let's see here. At the end of this week, one of us will be. Either 4-1 or 3-2. So we'll see what happens there.
I said it in the group chat this week, but as commissioner, I root for every team to be at 500. So in that regard, I should be rooting for Brent here so that you, if he wins, you both move to 3-2.
Yeah.
As opposed to you jumping out to 4-1. So sure. Probably rooting for Brent, but I'm picking you.
Well, don't worry. There'll be a time somewhere in the next couple of weeks where I'll hit even and then watch my loss column start to run up the score on my win column. So don't worry. Things balance out. All right. Well, let's hop over then to Ben and Michael this week. Another 3-1, 2-2 matchup where we can see potentially come into the middle of an even game. Now, they are even tighter projected right now, also not having any players on Thursday night, but they are right at about 4 points spread projection on ESPN. We've got Michael with Andrew Luck up top. I like his team in that his running back core is CJ Anderson and Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is up against Minnesota this week, and so he's been consistently above average, but not huge. But he's a good number two running back. I like him in that spot. But this week may be a little bit tougher for him. Steve Smith went off last week as his wide, even though Alshon Jeffrey has not been a number one wide. Steve Smith has been carrying that load, and this week he's up against Washington. So that could be impressive too. Victor Cruz, below average, but good. And Rob, poor old Gronk, squat. So currently sitting in his tight end spot going up against Cleveland. So we'll see with Peyton Manning coming back if that'll make a difference.
Oh, Peyton Manning's coming back. Sorry. Breaking news.
I'm going to have to edit that out. We'll see if with Tom Brady coming back, if that'll make a difference for him. I definitely think that this is Michael's game to win. I like the setup of Ben's team a little bit better with Odell Beckham, Fozzie Whitaker, Derek Carr looks good against San Diego. And I do like Travis Benjamin. So what do you think, sir?
I'm a little surprised that Michael's currently projected 4 points higher than Ben. On paper, I feel like Ben's team looks much stronger, and that's who I'm going to pick to win.
Mm-hmm.
Michael had a little bit of a rough week last week. I fell way below his projection, and he ended up dropping 4 spots in the power rankings from number 4 to number 8. So it's a pretty big drop in 1 week. But he was projected last week to score 141, which was the second highest of the week, and he actually scored 115. So he fell way short of his projection. A lot of that had to do with Gronkowski, who is apparently not fully healthy and not fully his Gronk self. So that's something that is just will just drive you crazy to have a stud like Gronkowski who is playing, and he's actually playing a fair amount now, but he's just not fully healthy and not completely active in the passing game. So you kind of feel like you have to play him, but you don't want to. So that's tough. But I like Ben's team here. I think he will take this one and continue his hot streak.
Yep, I agree. Money's on Ben this week. We'll see how he does. All right, well, that should take us over to another 3-1, 2-2 matchup, and that is Jared and Chris. Man, the scheduler is just a genius. You're a genius. You can't write better drama.
Knows all. So Chris is 2-2, but he has Tom Brady coming back in this week. He has him slotted to start after, even though Matt Ryan went crazy last week and scored 40 points. He is wisely benching Matt Ryan going up against Denver in favor of angry Tom Brady returning to throw
chip on shoulder Tom.
Throw 600 passing yards against the Browns.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see how he does there. Jared's got a few question marks on his team for health, so it'll be interesting to track those as we get closer to Sunday. But I liked some of the matchups on Jared's side of the ball. And Chris has a couple of good ones himself, with, for example, Quincy Enunwa, for the Jets, who's going to be, getting an increased role with Eric Decker out. This should be a tight one. I think it should be a high scoring one. I feel like these are two of the stronger teams in the league this year. They currently sit at number 2 and number 3 in the power rankings. So the numbers would support that, even though they're 3-1 and 2-2. The numbers say this battle of two of the top three teams in the league. So this will be a fun one to watch.
Arizona, having already played tonight against San Francisco, puts Jared's kicker at 7 points for the evening, which has their projections now split about 3 points, so less than. So, yep, another tight projection on the mid-range ranked teams. So I do think that Chris is in the advantage, despite Jared having a strong showing thus far. And so my money is on Chris this week. I lose you.
No, that's sorry. I'll give you my pick. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Chris too. I'm having a hard time convincing myself otherwise. I think Angry Tom is going to carry the day.
Yeah. Sorry, Jared. We cursed you last week on the show. The only way to break the curse is to come back on the show. So we look forward to having you back there.
Oh, but Chris asked us to always pitch against him because he thinks he wins whenever we pitch.
Oh, he did do that. That's right.
Sorry, Chris.
Chris, sorry. All right. Well, hopping over to Derek and Brian this week. We've got a this is a case of the bye week blues. Tried and just very very clear for Derek. He's got Mark Ingram and T.J. Yeldon and Blake Bortles, which I don't know if he would have used Blake this week, but he's got three men on bye. His team currently is situated at a 35, really 36 point deficit in projection up against Brian this week. Both teams are on 0-4. We get to see one of them come out ahead. Who's it going to be, Pete?
Yeah, I was going to say you're really burying the lead there. This isn't about the bye week blues. This is about the stoppable force against the movable object. One of them's gonna stand their ground and get a win this week. And then the secondary point is, yeah, Derek is suffering. Every player on his bench is either on a bye or expected to be ruled out this week. So that that's gonna be tough sledding for him. And the projected point total reflects it. He's got both Atlanta running backs in his starting lineup, and they're going against Denver's tough defense. So maybe he'll get one touchdown from one of them, but that might be both those guys finishing in the single-digit points is not outside the realm of possibilities. He does have a couple of other matchups that are pretty decent, like DeSean Jackson and Emmanuel Sanders. But I don't think that'll be enough to carry the day for him, as Brian is staring across with 23 points in the bag already from Carlos Hyde, Antonio Brown and Devontae Parker in nice matchups. And I think this will be one that Brian wins running away with it. And I feel like Brian is a little bit of a tough luck 0-4 team. He's, you know, he had the 0.1 point loss to you, and overall hasn't been as poor of a team as his record shows.
Sure.
So I think he'll he'll get off the schneid this week, and Derek will live to die another day.
Yeah. Well, tonight in a loss, Carlos Hyde still put up 23.5 points with 78 yards and a touchdown. The moral of this story for me is draft Carlos Hyde. Unless you want to get beat by him, draft him. I dodged that only because the fantasy gods smiled upon me, and I'm not looking forward to facing Brian again. The only thing, and I do think that Brian's gonna run up the score, but the only thing that could keep it competitive, I think, in Derek's favor would be dependent upon the performance of Emmanuel Sanders this weekend. I think if he has a strong showing up against Atlanta, that maybe his score might stay in the realm of competitive numbers as opposed to getting just trounced. So we'll see. But I think Brian takes it. All right, that takes us over to the Pellwood Bowl. We have a 2-2 Peter Elwood going up against a 1-3 Andy Elwood. Now, you went to the ball game, the Ranger game, with your brother today. Is that correct?
It is indeed.
How was his Australia trip?
He said it was a very refreshing trip. I spent a lot of time with his own thoughts. He unplugged and got out in the outback and kind of took it for all it was worth. So
yeah,
it was a good trip for him.
Good. And he came back alive. No missing appendages after alligator attacks. No spider bites.
I think he went boxing with some kangaroos and got a black eye. But other than that, he's in top shape.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, he may be in top shape. His team has taken a couple of hits, but his wide core really is probably the one to be concerned about. However, he's got so many good players on his team. It's sad. He's been really riddled with a couple of injuries, and I hope that that Aaron Rodgers coming off a bye going up against the Giants this week will help him out. I like Matt Forte this week. I like the Packers defense against the Giants a lot this week. I think that that's my favorite matchup, and that's the game I'm looking forward to watching the most actually this weekend. So I'll be curious to see how that does. Big Ben, however, coming off of a monster game last week, putting up 300 yards and a whopping 5 touchdowns. Up against Kansas City, we have a New York Jet matchup for him this weekend. So, him plus a healthy Le'Veon Bell, I can't imagine them not running it up as well. Love your team, Frank Gore, Brandon Marshall. I love Stephon Diggs right now, and I love Tarjay Sharpe right now. So, and of course, Patriots defense up against Cleveland. So, I think this is Andy's game to win, and that you are looking really fine right now. Pretty comfortable, I would even say. Not to say you haven't taken a few hits. You got Dez Bryant on your bench. He's, I think, nursing his hip right now. And, of course, Josh Gordon is suspended, so and will continue to be so until. When does he come back?
He's in rehab, so I probably need to drop him at some point. I've just kind of been holding on to him because I want to drop him and someone else add him for $0 and have him do something this year. So
sure.
I'm stubbornly holding on to him right now. And then once someone becomes available on the waiver wire who I really want, instead he will be dropped at that point.
Okay. Well, let me know when you do. What are your thoughts on your matchup?
I feel bad for Andy this week. He's got so Kevin White was put on the IR this week. He was starting to look like he was going to be a pretty key part of the Chicago offense. And so he's out. He joins Corey Coleman and Adrian Peterson on the injured list on Andy's team. And he's also got Allen Robinson and Kobe Fleener on bye. So I'm definitely facing Andy Scrubs this week. I feel like I don't expect this one to be too close. If I'm being honest, I think my team is looking a lot stronger now, and I'm just catching Andy at a really bad time.
Yeah, I do too. Nature of the matchup. I would love to see, again, Aaron Rodgers really crank it out against the Giants this week. We'll see what that looks like.
I think that will happen for sure. I think Aaron Rodgers could do one of those things like Julio just did, where he scores one third of Andy's points this week.
Yeah, and that would be kind of cool to watch. So we'll see. I don't think that would be enough, though, based on the holes that are on his roster this week. But yep, it'll be fun to watch. Hellwood Bowl is always an exciting matchup when it comes around. Not only do we have the Pellwood Bowl going on in the family, we also have the Manawaskaw Bowl up this weekend with Brock and Scott matching up. We actually are joined now by Brock. Brock, you're on the line with Truth and Rec. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight, sir?
You forgot to introduce me as the only remaining undefeated team in the league. So.
I didn't forget. And if you're going to go straight there, I want to clarify for our fans. Now, you have, am I correct in saying, not checked the score this evening for your matchup with Scott, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. I was advised against it, leading me to believe that it's not pretty.
Okay, so you're of the opinion that maybe it's not a good thing. And that we would be, yeah, we'd be so excited for you that you've just, man, your 4-0 record going up against Scott's 2-2 is going to stand and take you to a new echelon of 5-0 with a massive score on a week that your team is suffering from four men on bye. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, with four men on bye, I was hoping that I could squeak by with a little luck, you know, but I realized that I'm probably not going to go undefeated because my team isn't very deep and bye weeks suck.
Yeah, this is true.
And if I'm going to lose, I want the points against to be stacked so high so it looks a little more respectable at the end of the season. Not like, oh, you just skated by, you know. Hey, throw that 300 game my way. Let him have all
okay.
The
well, you are in luck, my friend. Your wish is the fantasy god's command. Now, I'm going to give you the good news. Hang on. I'm going to give you the good news, and Pete's going to give you the bad news. Is that fair? The good news is that you played the Cardinals defense this evening up against San Francisco, and even though it was a high-scoring game, the Cardinals won 33-21. They gave up 21 points. But the defense had two interceptions and a fumble recovery, racking in a total of 17 points for your DST. That's pretty respectable.
More than respectable.
Yeah, absolutely. That's above average for a defense.
I mean, if there's any bettors out here, that's more than three players on my roster will score at least. Who wants the over under?
That's fair. All right. Well, I'm glad you've taken that with such a stride. So, Pete.
So for the bad news, I would like for you to just check the score in whatever way you can, and make sure to vocalize your exact reaction as you see it.
Meanwhile, Pete and I will be on the edge of our seat.
It's like a bizarre. yes. Brock has opened the unfortunate Christmas present of Scott having three players score over 20 points against him, combining for 86 points in total, which those three players alone might outscore some teams in the league this week in total.
Mm. The juicy FanDuel line right there is what that is. It's
right.
A juicy daily fantasy.
I wasn't going to undefeated season long. And if someone's going to beat me, it might as well be Dad.
Yeah.
He put a solid team together this year. That being said, who the f*** is Jeremy Curley? I thought he was 6 years ago. Oh, he's wait, been... is this a swearing thing or not?
It's all right. We've got the technology to censor that right out.
It's all right, sweet.
Yeah, so Jeremy Curley has been traded for nothing or released from multiple organizations at some point of his career, and yet is turning in quite the season so far.
With Blaine Gabbert!
On the sad San Francisco 49ers.
Tim Tebow should start over Gabbert. How's that?
Well, Brock, you know, every dog must have his day. And you're...
But you know what? Like, Julio Jones 2 weeks ago put up 1 point. Last week he put up 50. It's fantasy, man. He could come out and score 110 points total. Probably not.
That's unlikely. Okay.
It's very unlikely, but...
So Brock, you're sitting... We'll just talk about what we have now, which is your team sits at 4-0. You do deserve your day.
A half.
Yeah. You do deserve your day on the show as the best team in the league.
Yep.
You have the best running back in the league. You have the best wide receiver in the league. So what has been the secret to your success so far?
The secret to my success was, you know, going into the draft, being a PPR league, I wanted to target wide receivers. I had DeAndre Hopkins, who honestly has kind of sucked so far. F.U. Will Fuller and Brock Osweiler and Houston in general. That, damn, those freaking Texans.
Can't trust them.
Yeah. You know, but I wanted top talent to complement him, and that left A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, or Julio Jones. I didn't trust A.J. Green because turf toe, I don't know. I don't like it. Antonio Brown generally just goes for too much, so I went into the draft wanting Julio Jones, and I feel like I got a steal getting him cheaper than A.J. Green and Antonio Brown at 60. And then I knew I was going to have to be patient and wait and wait and wait. So the secret to my success was get lucky, because I totally forgot about running backs until I'm sitting there like DeMarco Murray, 127th player on the draft board, and dude can still play football. Right. And then I get D'Angelo Williams for three games, that boosted me into the down. Like, Pete, you played the patient route with taking Le'Veon Bell and waiting the three games, and I took the instant gratification, and that propelled me to an early lead, and hopefully I'll be able to maintain that with the resurgence of DeMarco Murray. And if anybody needs wide receivers, I've got some, and I need a running back. Because,
I don't know if you've heard, but I'm shopping around Eddie Lacy.
The only reason James Starks is on my roster is because I've been hoping that he gets hurt and then James Starks can get the ball.
Yeah.
I think that was all the market research you needed to do right there. Just that's wrong.
I don't have faith in a guy that looks more like an offensive lineman than a running back.
Got the fridge.
Yeah, so seriously.
Your kicker sucks, so...
Why does my kicker suck?
He scored -1 points last week, which is a neat trick for a guy who's been the best kicker in fantasy football for several years running.
And he's been on my roster for several years running.
Yeah, you do like yourself some Gostkowski.
You know, I do, man. The Patriots score points. He had a bad week. Who saw the Patriots losing and being shut out?
So this week, your kicker and your defense may be your two leading scorers, is what it's looking like. As all the rest of your team does not have thrilling matchups.
That's not true. That's not true. DeMarco Murray has a thrilling matchup with Miami because they suck. They're terrible. And Sproles, I threw him in there because why not? They're rolling. Rookie quarterback likes to check down. He likes to catch the ball. And they're playing Detroit, and they're not very great either. But you want to go through it? DeAndre Hopkins at Minnesota. Ha ha. Yay me. Julio Jones at Denver. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm starting. I don't even know this dude's first name. Boyd. Plays for the Bengals. You know, he could come out and do something. I'm starting D'Angelo Williams against the Jets. He's going to get three touches. One of them is going to be a touchdown. He'll have 10 points.
That's the ceiling for him right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's as you described it. So yeah, I think I'm going to go with your kicker and defense are going to be your high scoring two of your three high scoring players this week.
I've accepted it as a loss. If by some strange miracle I pull it out, like, just make me champion and we'll call this year.
So last year you started out hot as well, I believe, with a 3-0 start.
Yes.
So what is the what's the difference between this year and last year?
Last year I was actually incredibly lucky, and it just kind of worked out in my favor at the beginning of the year, to be honest with you. Like, I was kind of near the bottom in points scored, but I was at the very bottom in points against, and I don't know.
Ah, so Ben, let that be a lesson to you. Where your team sits now, it may not always work out so well to be banking on the points against column. As Brock, you started out 3-0 last year and finished at 7-6.
Correct. But I believe right now I'm leading in points scored.
You are. You are
massively, crushing
the lead in every respect right now. And it will be interesting to see if the house of cards is about to crumble.
Jeremy freaking Curley, though. Like, that one gets me. One of the things that I generally do is I like to be patient on the waiver wire, because I think those early year big games from unknowns tend to not necessarily be sustainable, and I like to wait till later in the year till you've got fresher guys who are stepping up because they haven't been getting hit for 6, 7, 8 weeks, and I like to try and take them. So I'm hoping for... that I'll have some free agent money left when the true guys who are going to take the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season come out.
Yeah, the mid-season waiver wire is often more fruitful than early season or trade market at any point.
I don't want to get too excited and blow my load early.
That's right.
Censor button's going to get a lot of exercise tonight.
Well, we knew that coming in.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, it comes with the job. I'm sorry.
All right, so Brock, what's the prediction for
this? This is apple juice, by the way. Apple juice.
Brock, prediction for the rest of your season. Are you going to win the division in one of the top 2 spots to secure a bye for the playoffs?
You know, as it stands right now, no. No, I'm not. And that's because DeAndre Hopkins hasn't done shit. Coming out of the draft, going into the season, my strength was wide receiver, and the only one who did that was Julio, and that's because he put up 50 points in one game. That's absurd. If my wide receivers don't sit here and produce, then I'm not going to make it. I can't rely on DeMarco Murray. Like, that's how many years have we been doing this? How many years has he been playing football, and how many years has he stayed healthy?
One is the answer.
1 year.
And I believe I had him and traded him that year, too.
I believe that's correct.
I believe it was to you, Seth.
Yeah, I believe that's why I know.
It wasn't that the 3-way deal that we did?
No, really. I need running backs. I'm actually kind of desperate.
Eddie Lacy.
Well, we'll have to
running backs, not offensive linemen.
How about someone actually get a dadgum trade done? How about that? Issue a challenge to someone to make a deal.
You heard it right here, folks. It's been put out there. We have hid behind our fences, our suburban security blankets for too long. It is time to get out there, take some risks, and, roll the dice, gentlemen. Time to roll the dice.
Everyone always says, hey, I want to make a trade. Hey, I'm open for business. Come trade with me. And not see anyone actually take any action.
Yeah, I've been saving my roster moves. I have 0 as of yet, but that's going to change soon.
All right. Okay. I like it. Big bold prediction.
That's right.
Yep.
So let's get off your stool there and get out and mingle.
That's right. And, some of us mingle with multiple options, like I'm the Tinder of fantasy football trade options. So please seek me out. I'll play the field.
Just make sure to use protection when.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, thanks for jumping online with us, Brock.
Yes.
He's Peter Elwood. That's Brock Waskow. And I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in, all. Good night.